Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast during the top half of the 3 o'clock hour, the first half of the hour, we encourage your call to 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love for you to share this edition of Basic Gospel with us. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now. We'd love to hear from you. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know our listeners are continuing to pray for the situation down in South Texas, yeah. Houston, Beaumont, all of those areas. I think the rain has subsided a little bit, but the flood waters are continuing to rise. Rescue operations are still in effect, and there's a lot of need down there. I mean, people need water. People need, you know, supplies for their children. So I hope our listeners are finding ways that they can help. Yeah. I think this is a great opportunity to show forth the love of Christ. Not simply in word, but in deed. So this is one of those opportunities. When tragedy hits like this, we see the best of humanity. We see the worst of humanity.
That's for sure.
Along with all the wonderful acts of generosity that are being done. You know, there's looters out stealing things, taking advantage of the situation. It's just, you just cannot believe that that would happen, but that's what is happening right now. So, but if you feel moved to help, don't shrink back from that. Actually, do something. Find a church. I guarantee you, there's a local church. For example, the church that I attend here in the Dallas area, they have a truck that they will be loading this Friday at a Walmart up in Denton, and people will be bringing water and diapers and all kinds of you know, supplies like that, and they're going to take that down and start distributing. So there's numerous things like that happening, and I would certainly encourage you to find something and be involved in it.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a good thing for you and certainly for those down in South Texas. Our topic this month has been our living hope. How do we stand firm in the grace of God in this world in which we live today? And it's certainly hard. We as believers are pressured all the time by the world system. And that's why we see time and time again in the New Testament that we're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're not to give in to the things of this world. And we have a living hope. We have Christ living in us. And I wanted to read today in 1 John chapter 4 that really talks specifically about that living hope that we have. And John is drawing this contrast between the spirit of error that's in the world and the spirit of truth that we find in Christ Jesus. And he starts off and he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So the world system, it has that going for it, and then it has these false prophets that simply mimic the world system in the form and shape of religious talk.
Yes.
So there's false prophets out there in the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So what is the litmus test according to this verse? It's Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
So is this particular person speaking about Jesus in the way the Word of God speaks about Jesus? Is he really saying that Jesus has come in the flesh? There are many people that talk about Jesus, but they will say, no, he wasn't a fleshly being. He was just a spirit being. You say, well, you're not talking about the right Jesus. You're not talking about the right Jesus at all. So this is the spirit of Antichrist. So if you're not talking about the fact that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then that you're talking with the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
Which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. You know, we're always thinking about an antichrist, a particular person that's going to come in the future. Well, the spirit of Antichrist, which will embody this person in the future, has been in the world since the very beginning,
yes.
since the days in the garden. Mm-hmm. That crafty serpent was right there showing Adam and Eve that this tree of knowledge of good and evil was not a tree of death for them, but was actually a tree that they should desire, should want. And so he forced, or with his conniving, he led Adam and Eve to the point where they fell in love with sin and death. Crazy, but that's what happened. And so that spirit of Antichrist has been in the world. It's in the world today. And we can recognize it by what it says about Jesus. So, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And there's your living hope. Mm-hmm. You have many voices that are going to be coming at you, many voices that are going to be spoken to you with the spirit of error. They're not truth. Now, it may sound a lot like the truth, but if you will listen to the one who is alive living in you, you will be able to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. So you have this living hope, alive living in you. His name is Jesus Christ, and he that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So how do we stand firm in the grace of God? How do we stand firm in the truth that has been delivered to us by Jesus Christ himself? By trusting Christ and Christ alone, and taking every bit of information that comes into these minds of ours and casting it up against the truth of the gospel and the truth about Jesus Christ himself. That will give us the discernment and give us the ability to reject the error that's in the world and cling just with everything to the spirit of truth that will set us free.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, friends, it's Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. If you're hearing the live broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We await your calls right now. Again, 844-322-2742. You can use that same number 24 hours a day. If we're not doing the program live, you can record your voice and give us your question. We'll be glad to address it on Basic Gospel. Well, friends, with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive our new video series, Your Living Hope. Of course, Bob and Richard, as I've said many times, teamed up to do a wonderful production that will help you, will guide you to stand firmly in the grace of God and resist the intense pressures that come against us practically every day from the world, forcing us to try to get into its own patterns. And Richard, as we mentioned yesterday, time is running short, and only today and tomorrow remaining for our listeners to take advantage of this offer.
Yeah, and I would personally ask you to really make a serious consideration. Get this product.
Yeah.
As we've learned in the last week, there is nothing that is secure in our world. Everything can be going along fine. Good job, good family. Everything can be going along fine, and you can lose it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a living hope built on Jesus and Jesus alone, all these things that can happen will wipe you out, and not wipe you out financially, but wipe you out spiritually.
Right.
And you know, the people down in Houston and Galveston and all the areas there along the coast and now in Louisiana,
yeah.
They're just living their lives, and this stuff happens.
Right.
You can be anywhere in the world, and this stuff happens. We live in a fallen world. Satan is trying to tear it apart, destroy it, and destroy everyone, saved and lost alike. Only Jesus gives us the hope to withstand the stuff that comes against us, whether it's sickness or an accident or a storm or a financial reversal. Name the problem. Satan is trying to use that to separate you from Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you know who Jesus is and the fact that he is your living hope, not just some ephemeral idea, but actually living hope inside of you, make that your foundation. Then you can withstand whatever comes. You're going to suffer. Accidents cause problems.
Sure.
Weather causes problems. But Jesus is sufficient. His love is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And it's only that that allows us to get through these kinds of situations in a way that is honoring to God and actually ends up being used to bless us. Because when we've been through something like this, guess what? We can bless others with the blessings that we've received.
Absolutely.
This teaching is all about that, and it's worth getting. Please do so.
Yeah. It's called Your Living Hope, and it's a DVD series that Richard and Bob put together. We'd love for you to have a copy, and you can get one today and tomorrow with your donation to Basic Gospel. Simply go to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can call 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. Your Living Hope, we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get a copy for yourself today or tomorrow, because the offer ends at midnight tomorrow night. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we had a call overnight from a California listener. Let's listen to that call right now.
Well, hello. This is Irving calling from Stockton. And I was wondering, in where in the book of Genesis is the second tree in the garden mentioned, the tree of life? What chapter is that first mentioned? And that's my question. Thanks for your time.
What chapter is the tree of life first mentioned?
Yeah, chapter 3.
Chapter 3. That's exactly right. And so after Adam and Eve sinned, mm-hmm. After they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then he banned them from the garden, and he said, we've done so that they won't partake of the tree of life and live forever in that lost condition, mm-hmm. In that condition of spiritual death. And that's the thing that we need to understand. As soon as Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually.
Yes.
They were dead spiritually. They didn't die physically. That happened a long time from that point as far as years are concerned. I think Adam lived to be 930 years of age. But his body at that point was subject to sin and death, and eventually that body died. And so his spirit died, he lost spiritual life, and then he lost physical life. And so that death has been passed on to all of us. So we come into this world dead spiritually, and these bodies that we're housed in, these bodies are subject to sin and death, and these bodies are going to die. Now, Christ came and reversed everything. Christ became that tree of life for us. So when we respond to that gospel, when we respond to that good news of Jesus, then we're made alive together with Christ, and we are given a hope. And that hope is the fact that these bodies are going to be restored to what God originally intended, that we're going to get resurrection bodies. So just as Jesus, his body was raised and put on immortality and became imperishable, we're going to have exactly the same type of body. It's going to become an immortal body. And so that's the hope of that future resurrection. See, our bodies are going to be raised. So Adam and Eve were fully alive spiritually and bodily. Sin came into the world and they died. We come into this world dead spiritually with our body subject to sin and death. Jesus Christ reverses that. We receive life through him. So that first mention is in Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah. Irving, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us a call. Well, we have open lines. It's still the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, 844-322-2742. So you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd like you to be a part of it. Give us a call, friends, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Christina, who jotted us a question through our Facebook page, and she says, hey, guys, love your ministry and listen often. She goes on to say, I have a Christian friend who is well-versed in Scripture who tells me that believing in Jesus Christ was the Son of God, or believing that he is the Son of God, and having faith does not guarantee salvation. There are things that you must show to prove your belief and faith are real. What are your thoughts on that? That's from Christina, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, the Word of God is pretty clear that our response is to believe. I mean, that's it. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. So we could go through the book of John, the Gospel of John, and see time and time again, starting at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see in John 3:36 the same thing. We see in John 5:24 that whoever believes in him crosses over from death to life. We see in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God saved, that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So belief is the way. It is by grace through faith. That's how salvation comes to us, by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, when we're saved, we're not just receiving a golden ticket that's going to grant us entry into heaven when we die. We're receiving Jesus. So Jesus comes to live inside of us. He is the gift of salvation. He is our salvation. So it's his life that now lives in us. As Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in us, lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ is alive, living in us. That's what makes us Christians. If Christ isn't there, we're not true believers. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to Christ. So when you're saved, Christ comes to live inside of you. And now he's given you a heart that wants to trust him. And so as you learn to trust Jesus, he's going to manifest his life in and through you. So he's going to assure your hearts by making his presence inside of you known to you and known to the world around you. So it all gets back to him, doesn't it? It's on his shoulders from start to finish. There's so many of us think, oh, man, we've got to go out and prove that we're really Christians. And, well, how do we do that? Well, you got to attend church. You got to do this. And, you know, there's a lot of people that attend church every single Sunday, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, who are miserable. You would never look at them and think, oh, Christ is alive living in that person. They're true believers. And the reality is they might not be. They may just be going to church because they believe that's what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And so when they stand before God and say, I deserve to be here because I went to church every Sunday. I didn't want to go, but by golly, I got myself up and cleaned up and got there every single Sunday. There's others that say, oh boy, you have to give your money. You better give your money. If you're not going to give your money, you must not be a Christian. Well, there are a lot of non-Christians that are giving a lot of money away.
Sure.
A whole lot of billionaires who are giving, there's a group of those billionaires. I think Ted Turner said, you know, guys, we've got all this money. Let's make a pledge to one another that we're going to give 90% of our wealth away. And so several of them have decided to do that. Well, they're not Christians. Many of them are really anti-Christian, but they're giving their money.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people saying, hey, you got to give your money. But that doesn't prove you're a believer. What proves you're a believer is the fact that Christ lives in you and that Christ is going to manifest his life in and through you. What is that going to look like? That's going to look like love. So as we learn to trust Jesus, we're going to see that faith in Jesus is going to manifest itself in love toward others. Why? Because that's the fruit of his life in and through us.
Can you imagine how far the message could be taken with a billion-dollar donation to Basic Gospel?
We would not.
Unbelievable is what it would be. Listen, friends, you can take us with you wherever you go with the Basic Gospel app. You can listen to the live daily program. You can pose a question for us to answer on the air, and you can make your donation with the Basic Gospel app, and, of course, you know where to find it. You know, also, every day you hear about the love and life of the Lord Jesus Christ right here on Basic Gospel. We bring that good news to you both on the radio, online, through Facebook, and YouTube. YouTube, and to keep the good news coming, we need your consistent partnership. And with your donation today or tomorrow, we have that very special DVD for you. It's called Your Living Hope. It's our gift to you as you make your donation to Basic Gospel. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll get a copy on the way to you. I hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, basicgospel.net. Just click donate or call 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Aaron in Temple, Texas, I believe.
Yes, indeed. Let's go down and talk with Aaron. Aaron, you're on the air. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
All right, thanks. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, I got my questions pertaining to Ephesians 2 and 8. You know, when Paul, he wrote Ephesians and given the clarification of the gospel, he said, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And I've heard different people, leaders in the church, some say, you know, that the faith itself is a gift of God. And my thing is, so if I know salvation is always a response to God initiating. So if faith is a gift to God, when they say it like that, I mean, it sounds like it's not, there's no human response required. It's a gift. So does God give me faith as a gift to respond to the message? I just want to, how do you reconcile that? Ephesians 2 and 8, and I'm going to get off and I'm going to listen to your answer. Thank you so much.
Well, great question, Aaron. Yes. And boy, there's been a 2,000-year debate on that. Is grace, is salvation the gift? Is faith the gift? And I think we have to look at the fact that there is no faith apart from Jesus. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus kind of enters the scene, so to speak, as far as the gospel message is concerned, and we have that encounter with Jesus, that's the first time we really have an opportunity to respond to him by faith. So the fact that he has made his presence known to us, I mean, that's a gift in and of itself.
Yes.
Allows us to respond in faith. I think also Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about that Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter, or the pioneer and perfecter or finisher of faith. There is no faith apart from Jesus Christ, none whatsoever. If we can talk about faith, and if we talk about it outside of Jesus, it's just like a deflated balloon. There's no substance to it.
Yeah.
There's no volume to it. But when it's attached to Jesus, it fills up. It becomes something of substance, something of value. So God's gift to us is Jesus. It's in him that we have life. And so I think we have to humbly say that our response of faith is something that God allows when he introduces Jesus to us in the way that he does. And maybe it was through a sermon that you heard. Maybe it was a friend that told you about Jesus. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you just in the quietness of your own room were reading the Bible and just your eyes were open to see Jesus for who he was. And at that moment, your heart could respond.
Yes.
And that's just how it works. Faith is not to, an intellectual assent, you know, merely. It's not just responding to some propositional statement saying, hey, I believe these. It is our response to the person of Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, you could say faith is a gift, can't you?
Yes. It's one of those God things. I mean, we can't separate grace as a thing from Jesus, who is grace, and the indwelling Spirit who ministers that grace to us. It's the same with faith. I mean, we do respond, but our response is not a work. It truly is a response to the overwhelming glory of who Jesus is.
And that response of faith is the most human thing that we can do. Respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we're fully human, fully alive.
Absolutely. That's a great admonition from Basic Gospel, everybody. I don't mean to beat this to death, but today and tomorrow, friends, are the last chance you'll have to make your donation to receive a copy of this wonderful DVD series that Bob and Richard have put together called Your Living Hope. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and we'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.